Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. And so it begins. This morning, we're talking about the beginning of the early church, first century in Jerusalem. You know, if we just had a bigger church, bigger building. Boy, if we just had a gymnasium. Boy, if we just had the right kind of programs. We just had the right minister. Boy, we could really make a difference in this community. We all wrestle with those thoughts, and yet, think about that as we're looking at first century Jerusalem. They didn't really have a building to gather in. They didn't have any special programs. They simply had the Holy Spirit. And they responded. And people's lives were changed. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Now I'm going to skip up to verse 11. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" Let's pray. Father, help us as we take a moment, as we pause. Help us to understand what this means. Not just what it meant to them in that day, but what it means to us. Give us something practical. Help us to walk out of this place, draw a little closer to you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. What does this mean? Peter, one of the close followers of Jesus Christ, stands up and makes an attempt to answer that question. What does this mean? He begins to explain in the Old Testament how it spoke of a time when God was going to pour out His Holy Spirit in such a manner that it was going to be on everyone who called upon His name, everyone who responded in faith. And then he begins to explain what Jesus had been doing. You see, this is just some 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is very early on. This is in this area, many of them, I would imagine. I mean, how could they have not known what had happened to Jesus in this time as they were gathered in this festival? This man who had come and performed all these miracles. Crowds were gathered around to him, listening to him speak as he spoke differently than anyone else. He spoke, as the Bible says, with authority, as if he knew what he was saying was true. And that this man, who no one really had an accusation that stuck to him, they tried a lot of things, an innocent man was taken and arrested and tried and hung on a cross and died in front of many people. Peter goes on to say, this man that was crucified is alive today. I've seen the man. I've talked to the man. And you need to understand that this man, and I understand, Peter's talking to a lot of Jews, mostly Jews. He's speaking to these Jews and he's saying, this man, who many of you probably were in agreement with that crucifixion, this man was the Savior that the Old Testament, the Bible that Peter was using, the Old Testament that we have today, spoke of this man coming. And this man reaching out and attempting to preach and to teach the Word of God. But interestingly, it also says, the Old Testament spoke of these very things happening, that God used this process to bring about salvation to the world. A new thing was happening. This whole process, the arrest, crucifixion, burial, and consequent resurrection of Jesus, was all part of bringing this salvation to the world. This one act, his death upon the cross, and we talked about this Wednesday night, this one act that Jesus Christ did for us, made it possible for each and every one of us to have a personal relationship with God. Amen. Through our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for us. He paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And then what you are seeing, these actions that are happening, that they said, what does this mean, was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This physical manifestation that God was showing them. Peter was saying, listen, what's going on? God is doing a wonderful and a new great thing. Listen to the reaction of those who heard this. Now, jumping up to verse 37 in chapter 2. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They sensed something in their heart, that something was true about what was going on. And they felt some sense, I think they felt this sense of needing a change in their life. They were drawn to God. They recognized their unrighteousness and consequently also the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This is a response that we should do. If we ever feel a sense in our heart that something's not right, we should speak to God. What shall we do? What should I do with this sense of discomfort in my life? What shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. That would be us. We would be far off, not only physically, but also far off in time. 2,000 years later. For you and your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them. In other words, Peter had a lot to say, helping them understand from the Old Testament how it spoke of what the Messiah, the Savior that they were waiting for, that they were looking for, was going to do and what all he was going to go through. He began to help them to see how Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of what they were waiting for. So with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Couldn't we say that today? Save yourselves from a world around us that's not living a God-honoring life. So those who received this word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so it begins. Here in chapter 2 of Acts, we see the beginning of the church that stretches 2,000 years into, over 2,000 years into our time here in Ohio. That was the beginning of the church. But understand, it's not as though God didn't work in the world before. He was still working. He was still reaching out in many different ways. But now he's doing a new work, a new thing. He's going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon everybody. This new step, God wanted to do it in such a way that caught the attention of those who were waiting and looking for this movement. There are three things that I want to draw out of the scripture this morning. First of all, the timing of the church, or this beginning of the church. the pathway, the doorway to the church, and then also the activities of the church. Speaking of the timing, we see here Luke records in the Acts of the Apostles that it was on the day of Pentecost. You come back in the Old Testament, I want to tell you, as you study it, it's confusing. I've listened to people who've studied it much deeper than I have and understand things a whole lot better than I do. But I do know this, there are three main festivals spoken of the Old Testament where the men of Israel were supposed to gather around the temple and to remember certain things about God. And the day of Pentecost, a word which means 50, was basically 50 days after a previous festival. And during this festival, they were supposed to bring thanksgiving unto God for the first fruits of their crop. Some of the best of their crop, they're supposed to come and offer it unto God, sacrifices unto God, thanking Him for what He had provided. This is why they had gathered that day. This is why there were so many of them. They didn't come there to listen to Peter. They didn't come there to receive or hear about the Holy Spirit. They came out of a desire to honor God because of the thanksgiving of what had been happening in their lives. Can you see why this would have been a great time for God to bring this about? People were gathered from all nations where the children of Israel had been scattered. They were speaking different languages. And the Word of God also speaks that there were proselytes, just basically speaking of people who had chosen that they wanted to live the life of a faithful Jew, but yet they were not blood-born Jews. So there were individuals that were being taught about the Word of God that had also gathered. And I would imagine simultaneously, you imagine because of the excitement, imagine what happens in our country. You know, when someone comes into town special, or we have a special concert, or we have a Super Bowl, or whatever, we have these incidents where many people are gathered. Sometimes there are people who are gathered, not necessarily for all the right reasons, but in some way they're just curious. So I imagine there were some individuals who had no connection with the temple or the religious ceremonies that were going on. They were just there and they happened to hear. Can you imagine why, or can you understand now why God thought this was a good time to bring this about? There was now going to be a new Pentecost, a new celebration of the first fruits. And you can see now this is now the first fruits or the beginning of the church. Not to say that the Old Testament, those people who come to understand God and have faith in Him weren't children of God and won't be in heaven as well. They will be. But this is just a new moment, a new time, the beginning of the church as we understand it and as we know and as how it's described in the New Testament. God was about to bring about a harvest of His own. Now I've read that the Jews to this day still, those who have not accepted Christ, listen, there are Jews just as much of those who wrote the New Testament were Jews who accepted Christ. There were also many who did not. Just in the same way today, there are many Jews who still attempt to follow the Old Testament faith, have not accepted Christ. But in my understanding, from what I read, there are some of them that still continually practice this. And one of the things that they focus on is on the law. Can you see such a stark difference to be focusing and celebrating on the law, whereas we are taught by Christ and the followers of Christ to focus on the grace and the mercy that God has poured out upon us, those of us who act out in faith. While they were together, while they're offering praises to God for the harvest, God was formally claiming some as His own. I like this picture. This is the idea of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, God's indwelling Spirit. Now, listen, you can read about the Old Testament. There are moments in time when the Holy Spirit came upon individuals, but it was usually for a time or for a particular incident or because He wanted something to be spoken or be said, a certain prophecy that was being shared. But now we're told in the Bible that God is indwelling each and every one of us who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you see it? It's His desire to pour upon us much more than we could ever fully understand or grasp. It's God's love. It is the third part of the Trinity. And God, the Word of God says that He has come and He has become a part of us, those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back again for just a second in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Speaking of this incident, and I wanted to bring out there, where he says there was a mighty rushing wind, and they heard this sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then there was divided tongues of fire appeared upon them, or rested on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now there's a lot here. I'm just going to kind of skim over and tell you the main, you know, the rushing wind is, and notice this is a sound, and God has spoken, Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit kind of coming in the wind, in a sense that you can see it, you can see the actions that's happening, but you don't necessarily see the wind itself. God has chosen for some reason to bring about this loud sound that caught their attention. And this tongues of fire, you know, back in the Old Testament, there was different times when God spoke through fire, right? If you know your Bible, in Moses, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush that did not burn up. God also used fire for a while, leading the nation of Israel out of enslavement of Egypt as going into the promised land. So the Jews in that day, those who knew their scriptures, would have understood and realized fire being a representation of God and His leading. And then this filling of the Holy Spirit again, I've already kind of discussed that. And then the next thing about speaking in other tongues. Notice, and the scholars who are much smarter than me wrestle back and forth as to what was this speaking in tongues? Was it the words that were being changed, or was it the ears that were being changed? But understand, this was not unknown languages being shared. It was languages of the individuals who were there. So in other words, if I was Greek at that time and I'm speaking Greek, somehow the person who's next to me who speaks Arabic is hearing it in their language. Again, whether that's God changing my words or God changing their ears or their ability to hear it. But that was what was going on. That was some of the commotion. People were recognizing that they were hearing these individuals who were praising God. And as they were praising God, they were all hearing it in their own language. But just imagine for a moment walking into a large area with a lot of people speaking and hearing all these languages happening at once. It would sound pretty confusing. That's why they said, what all does this mean? Peter explains to him, you know, this is God. This is a movement of God. But understand, there is nothing, and you all catch me afterwards, if you know there's no example, not only in Scripture, but in history. There's no other example when this has ever happened again. It's not as though those of us who are wanting the Holy Spirit have got to call out for all these things to happen. This was one moment. This was one time. God was saying a lot to those individuals who had their faith and what they understood from the Old Testament, and there was so much representation going on. The main thing that we needed to understand was this was a new movement of God, and God was now going to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us, upon each and every one of us who calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the point that Peter wants us to understand, and I would want you all to understand, is he makes clear what is the pathway to be a part of what God is doing. What does it take to receive this indwelling Holy Spirit? Jesus makes it clear throughout the Gospels where he talks about us having childlike faith. It's a little scary, some of it, for those of us who are adults. You know, as a child, it's pretty easy. There are some things until you get to that point where you get to be less trusting because things happen, right? That you realize you can't trust everybody. But as a young person, if you had loving, caring parents and they said something to you, to some extent you just accepted, that's what's going to happen. You didn't try to figure it all out. You didn't try to figure out if there was enough money, if there was enough gas in the car, or if Dad understood how to get there. We didn't wrestle with all those things. We just simply accepted it because we had someone who we trusted told us. God saying, trust me, this is true, and you need to do that with childlike faith. You can't come to it from a perspective, I'm going to figure it all out. I'm going to tell you, I've been a Christian for many years and I've not got it all figured out, and I'm okay with that because I trust in someone who has it all figured out. I don't have to have it all figured out. I still go on a regular basis with the viewpoint that I'm just a child. Childlike faith in Jesus Christ. Look again in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 39, Peter's response. When they were saying, what do we do? He Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." If you feel a stirring in your heart that you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, Peter is simply saying, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Just as those individuals received the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years ago, today God is still pouring out the Holy Spirit on those who would choose to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last point I want to bring up this morning is the activities of the church. The church began to respond as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter speaks of, Luke in writing, telling us what now begins to happen. It wasn't like they all went around seeking for that same experience again. "Oh God, I want that to happen. I need that to happen." No, they just began to do these activities. This was a natural outpouring of those individuals who had been filled of the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that they were devoted to the teaching, and they were fellowshipping, they were breaking bread, and they were praying. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 again, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." I don't want you to stand up, and I don't want you to raise your hand, I don't want you to say anything, but I want to ask you here this morning, what is it that you would say you're devoted to? That's a pretty strong word, to say I'm devoted to this. This is something that I'm going to put a lot of effort into. This is something that I'm going to be regularly having a part or a focus in my life. King James Version uses the word steadfastly. I'm going to be steadfastly doing these things. These are the things that begin to happen to those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I'm not here to tell you to examine yourself and decide therefore you're not, but because the Bible also tells us we can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? We can refuse, we can ignore some of those things that God is driving us to. But Luke here is telling us these are the things that ought to be happening in the lives of the church. Now who's the church? It's not this building. It's not even us per se, right? It's every individual who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Those of us who put our trust in Him, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what begins to happen in our lives, what we should begin to devote ourselves to, is listening to the apostles' teaching. In this case, we don't have any apostles today, right? But the Bible tells us God gives us preachers and teachers. Doesn't mean that your preacher or your pastor or your teacher has it all figured out. It just means they spend time focusing and studying and attempting to help share it in such a way that you understand it. Doesn't mean you can't still find value in reading it and studying it yourself. You need to. You need to help keep your pastor accountable. You need to help keep your teachers accountable. I've shared with many of you, and maybe I think I've said it to the church as a whole. If you ever feel like I've said something that doesn't line up with the Scripture, then call me out, let me know. I'd rather you not necessarily do it right then and there during the service on Wednesday nights. Listen, if you don't come out Wednesday night, or if you do come out Wednesday night, we have some give and take. That's the intention of Wednesday, just to specifically stand up and let's share and discuss it back and forth. But you ought to be careful about what you're being taught. And how are you going to do that unless you're reading it yourself? Amen. Taking a moment. I want to tell you, I saw my faith grow exponentially when I got committed to simply reading the Word of God. How exciting it was to sit back there and hear the pastor say something and to say, "I know that's true." Because I've read it too. I sensed it in my heart. I saw it. You will see your faith grow as you focus on reading the Word of God. But listen, we should devote ourselves to regularly attending. Praise God you made that decision this morning. To regularly attending church, being a part of what's going on where pastors and teachers are gathering to share the Word of God. They devoted themselves to doing that. We get the impression here that they did it much more than just weekly. Talks about them referring getting together daily. But the point is they did it regularly. They devoted themselves. Are you devoted to listening to pastors and teachers as they share the Word of God. Secondly, and I'm going to kind of put the two together, the second, third one, fellowship and breaking of bread. They got together with people who are like-minded. I know those of you who like to hunt, you like to hang around hunters, right? Those of you who like to fish, you might like to hang around someone who's fishing. If you like to bowl, so on and so forth. There's value in hanging around people who are like-minded or doing activities that you like to do. Can you not see that there is a natural response or a value of us by spending time together? And that's beyond just Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Finding time to hang together, to have some discussions, life discussions with people who are also committed to Christ. Listen, there's been many times when I've sat down and I've had discussions with other Christians at work or over a cup of coffee, and we've shared things that we can help one another. Something that maybe you were comfortable with sharing in a small group, but that you don't necessarily want to stand up in church and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with today. And those fellowship times is, yes, I like to eat just as much as anybody else. But it's also about sharing. It's about being a part of one another's lives. They devoted themselves to doing that. And lastly, the last point here concerning things they devoted themselves to was prayer. Now, prayer is so many things, and I could get off on a whole other sermon just talking about prayer. It's not just about asking God for things. It's also about praising God for things.
Amen.
It's also saying, God, I want your will to be done in my life. Give me a vision. Give me a better understanding of what you would have me to do. We need to be regularly praying. It's not required that there has to be a set time, but I think it's good for you to kind of have a set time in your life, whether it's first thing in the morning or late at night or maybe both or maybe at the lunch hour. Taking time, intentionally saying, I'm going to devote myself to having a discussion with the God who created me. These are the things that they found themselves devoted to. And again, can you see the focus point was not we, and I'm not calling out Vanderhoof, I'm talking about churches as a whole. Sometimes we get so caught up in, boy, if we just had this, you know, or if we just had that, boy, if we just had the right pastor. I remember one church I was preaching at one time, and some individual was speaking. They wasn't meaning it directly at me, but they were just a few pews away, and I could hear them, and they were saying, remember when pastor such and such was here? Our church just grew exponentially. You know, and you know what that sounded like to me? You know, this guy just ain't getting it done. Can you see, if all of us here were simply responding as the Holy Spirit guided us, as we are devoted, we will put ourselves, I want to say put ourselves in the best position to help draw others unto God. Listen, I'm not here condemning Vanderhoof because we don't have 3,000 here this morning accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not it. But I'm just saying, and all those things are good, having a good pastor building and all those things. But can you see what we need to do is just simply focus on an individual basis, what can I do to honor God with my life? And what can I do to help others honor God with their lives? And in the midst of that, God's work is going to be done. They made it a priority. And you notice too, and I'm not going to go and look at it this morning, but you can see they were stark, I mean, in a strong way, they were seeing to each other's needs. Can you see that's also part of what the church ought to be doing, seeing to one another's needs? I know I see that happening in this church, but can we do enough of it? We need to have our eyes open and our ears perked for people who have needs. Some people are a little backward. They don't necessarily want to share that they have a need. That's why we need to be investigators, right? We need to pay attention. I had coworkers before that you could just tell something's different in their life. If something has changed, the way they look, just the way they're acting, something is different. You know what? You don't see those things unless you're intentional. We get so focused, so devoted onto our own lives, right? Our own things. We need to pay attention to people. We need to ask. We say, hey, listen, I have a concern for you. What can we do? Is there something I can help? Something I can help you with? The church needs to be about taking care of one another. I want to encourage you this morning to just think about, again, these things that they were supposed to be devoted to, and ask yourself, are you devoted? Do you find yourself seeing this being a focus of your life? Of being about listening to the teaching, fellowshipping and breaking bread with fellow Christians, and speaking to the God who created you. If the Lord's speaking to your heart in any way, as we prepare to sing, I would encourage you to talk to the Lord about it. Something God has stirred in your heart, don't let it go. Ask Him, what should I do with this? What does this mean to me? The Lord spoke to your heart in any way. If you want to, the altar is open. I would love to pray with you if you'd like. Or you can speak to the Lord right where you're at. As we prepare to sing, and right now I don't see the singer. What do we have?
I need to
I'm sorry.
I don't know if I know this song. Could be exciting.
I don't have my...
Stand right up here and...
what song is in the... I don't have my bulletin right here in my hands.
I need thee every hour.
Oh, I need thee every hour. Let's all stand and sing, I need thee every hour. The Lord is speaking to your heart in any way. I encourage you, talk to Him. If you're wrestling with where you are with God, am I a child of God? We're going to be talking about that next Sunday. And I also want to encourage you, if you know of anyone else in your life, maybe, that you're concerned about, that either hasn't made that decision or you're concerned about making that decision, that would be a wonderful Sunday to invite them as we look at John chapter 3, the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Let's pray. We do need thee. Help us to understand how much we need you, God. And help us to respond as your Holy Spirit draws us to devote ourselves to do those things that not only helps us, but honors you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for drawing those individuals who come out here this morning, Lord. And if there's something they're still wrestling with, don't let go of them, Lord. Let them continually wrestle with it as they leave this place. Bless, guide, and direct us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Hope you have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Oh, now I don't know if I go that far.